the gospel reading today, our Lord tells us that he is the living bread that came down from heaven. And unless we eat that bread, which is his flesh, and drink his blood, we have no life in us. Now we have to make some distinctions because obviously we have natural life. We breathe, we live, we are alive. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the supernatural life. And even that we can have without having received his flesh and blood, because when a child is baptized, they're in the state of grace. They have supernatural life. Sanctifying grace is in them, and therefore they are children of God. They are alive in the Lord. And so there is something even more than that the Lord is telling us, that we need to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and he doesn't give this to us as an option. So again, on one hand, we can say, as long as we die in the state of grace, we're going to go to heaven, even if we've never received Holy Communion. So in other words, a child who dies before First Communion can still go to heaven. And yet, for the rest of us, we have to be able to realize the difficulty of trying to keep ourselves in the state of grace. We know that we have confession, and we can use that frequently. But the Lord, in his mercy, has given to us the Holy Eucharist. And it's not like a magic pill that we can take and therefore we aren't going to sin. But rather, it's the realization of what it is that he's talking about. Because even when he says that anyone who eats his flesh and drinks his blood has life and will live forever, it's like, well, again, we need to be careful, because there are lots of people who are baptized Catholics who received First Holy Communion. And then once they get confirmed, of course, we haven't seen them in church ever since. And if they die in that state, they're not going to heaven. And yet at the same time, we say, well, but they were baptized and they received Holy Communion, and Jesus did say, anyone who eats his flesh and drinks his blood has life everlasting. It's true. He's given that to them. That doesn't mean that they're going to cooperate with it. That doesn't mean they're going to accept it. So the point being in all of this, as I was saying, it's not just like a magic pill. As long as we received Holy Communion, we're guaranteed to go to heaven. Not at all. But rather, it's to recognize the love of our blessed Lord, that he would give us himself. And he would give us himself so that we will love him. And if we truly love him, then we're going to keep ourselves in the state of grace. We have a purpose, we have a reason, which then also helps us to be able to say, why do I want to go to heaven? In other words, do I want to go to heaven for a totally selfish reason? Because it sounds like it's better than going to hell? Well, obviously it's infinitely better. But we don't want to just go there for something selfish. In fact, we can't. It may start as a selfish motive, but that has to be purified. Because heaven is about charity. And charity is selfless. So our motive ultimately has to be the love of God and the love of neighbor. What do we have in the Holy Eucharist? It's the love of God and it's the love of neighbor. It is our Lord in his love for us giving himself to us. It is fully the love of God, because Jesus is God. And so the entire love of God is given to us, not just in a generic way, not just as we can say that God loves all of us infinitely, which he does, but that in his infinity, God enters into you in the form of a piece of bread. But it's the fullness of the person of Jesus Christ, the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity, because he loves you that much. And so he is giving himself to you in his fullness, which again is quite the remarkable thing. We ponder this oftentimes when we think about our Blessed Lady and we say, you know, the heavens, the whole universe cannot contain the Lord. And yet he came to dwell in our Blessed Lady's womb in the fullness of his being. It's one thing to look at that with our Blessed Lady and say, well, she was without sin. You and I can't make that claim. And yet in the fullness of his being, he comes to dwell in us. So right there in your soul, what the entire universe cannot contain is present within you. It's a mystery that will never be able to be understood. How can something infinitely beyond me be within me in its fullness? Not just a little bit of it, the entirety of the very person of our Lord. How can this happen? Only because of love. And so when we ask ourselves, what was his motive in coming to earth? It was pure charity. It was entirely for us. Now we might say, well, but didn't he gain the inheritance by being obedient to his Father? What was his inheritance? Us, our poor Lord, were what he got. So he didn't come because he was going to get something. He came to give and to give himself. But because love is a two-way street, he will also receive what we're willing to give. But if his motive was pure love, then that's what our motive has to be. So again, why do we want to go to heaven? For love. To love the Lord, who loves us so much that not only did he come down from heaven, not only did he go to the cross, but he now gives himself to us in the Holy Eucharist. Because he loves us that much. So as we have just received him in Holy Communion, do we love him that much within our soul? Do we love him so much that that's why we want to go to heaven, is to be able to love him and to love all those who love him for the rest of eternity? It's not because, well, you know, it sounds like heaven is a nicer day than hell. Not even close. It's not just because I'd prefer, you know, if it's one or the other, I prefer to go to heaven. That's really pathetic. It's because we love the Lord. That's why he gave us himself. And if we receive him in love, not just going through the motions, not just saying, well, look, he said as long as I receive him, then I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live forever. If we receive him with the same disposition that he gives in Holy Communion, then we'll be fine. Then we're on track for heaven because we're receiving the love that he is giving to us and we are loving him. And if we are loving him, then that's what our disposition is going to be toward heaven. We want to be with him. Now, obviously, there is, well, literally an infinite amount that we're going to receive. So again, it's not a matter that, well, am I not going to get something? Yeah, it's a matter of just trying to say, yeah, I will receive what he's going to give, but that's not my motive. Just like a motive for getting married, you gain an immense amount by getting married. But I hope nobody got married for a selfish reason. If I marry this person, then here's what I get out of this deal. No. You get married because you love somebody, because you want to give yourself to that person. Yeah, that person's giving himself or herself to you as well, and you receive all of that. But it's not the reason why you get married. You get married to love. So when we go to heaven, we are going to be loved infinitely for the rest of eternity. But that's not the reason. We want to go to heaven because we love the Lord. And so when we have the same disposition in receiving communion that he has in giving himself in Holy Communion, then we're on the right track. Then these words that he spoke are going to be true in us. Then we indeed are in the state of sanctifying grace, but we have his life and we have him. What more could we, literally we couldn't. What more could we ask? Nothing. He is all in all. He is infinite. There's literally nothing more that we could ask or imagine. It's beyond anything that we could ever hope for. And this is what he's giving. This is who he is giving in Holy Communion. And so that's what we receive. There isn't an issue about what we receive. The issue is about what we give. Are we giving ourselves to him? Are we seeking to love him? He loves us. We don't have to worry about that part. We have to worry about our disposition. So we want to receive the love that he's giving to us. But we want to love him in the way that he loves us. Obviously, we can't ever love as much as he loves us. That's not an issue. As one of the saints pointed out, where everything is given, nothing is lacking. You love him 100%, even if your 100% is minuscule compared to his 100% love for you. He's not interested in that. He's interested in that you're loving him 100%. That's the way he loves you. So he will receive what you are willing to give, and you receive what he gives. So don't worry about that part. Worry about the giving. What's my disposition as I approach our Blessed Lord, so that it's not selfish? It's not just about what do I get, because to take is to violate. It's not an act of love. To receive is part of love. So he is giving 100%. Let's look at our own disposition now. What's our disposition in receiving him? What's our disposition in wanting to go to heaven? Is it selfish? Or is it like his disposition, one of pure charity?